DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with
Ender's Logic.
We call you Muscle Hammer.
Flopsy.
That the system...
Your host, Robert Digital.
Reload. Game changer overused.
And
Smoochie. I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right.
So...
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby, and I'm here with Chi.
Hello.
Emilio.
Hi.
And Chad.
What up, boys and girls?
All right, full crew. Got a big episode coming up here. Special thanks to last week we mentioned Cody, but that is RG Pumas. He let us know today. That is our new Patreon.
Thanks,
so
homie.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Speaking of,
if you have any problems with the Discord,
no, he's already green.
Oh, cool.
He's good to go.
Beautiful.
Yep, we got a lot of green in the Discord.
Yeah, join our Discord, by the way. We mention every week, but we're happy to see the new guys in every week.
It's literally the best thing we've ever done. It's better than the podcast.
I'm starting to realize that, like, when I do have time to play video games and I'm on Discord, I must be on obscure hours, because if I'm looking for somebody to play with, nobody wants to play with me.
It might say more about you than your hours.
You kind of have a reputation.
Maybe more later on that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Patreons, we have finalized the design for the shirt. But we are looking into new production options. We're trying to come up with a way where people are going to be able to get shirts a little easier without us having to stock them. So it's going to be, in the long run, a much better way. But once we get that going, then those shirts are coming out.
Yeah.
The 80s design that you all
voted for. I am very excited about this new design.
Yeah, I am too, honestly. And I'm hoping to hit more designs more quickly, because if we do this new method, I want to have, you know, a little bit of a selection to choose from. So we might have a couple options here. So we'll let you know more as soon as Bobby has time to do some work on the website.
Typical. All right. So we have nothing for last week's errors.
That's because I didn't listen to it. Not because we were clean, I'm sure.
Well, nobody mentioned anything. Lab Monkey, I want to say, did bring up something on the M.2 drives when we spoke about that. I can barely remember what I said about it, but my information was probably outdated, because the last time I looked into M.2 drives was quite some time ago. And there's a new one that I have heard a lot about, the Samsung 960, I believe. That is incredibly fast.
So these are the ones that you, like, stick directly onto the motherboard?
Mm-hmm. And you snap them into your motherboard. It's technically a PCI Express slot, but your motherboard has to support it. There's all sorts of different kinds, too, so you have to be very careful when buying one of these.
Okay.
But yeah, I got to look into that more. It's just, I got a Intel 750, and that's going to keep me going for a while. So I have not looked into whatever the fastest hard drives are out there. But I don't know. Maybe the time will come when I need to upgrade that.
So
it looks like these are two SSDs. Well, not as big of a jump, but as far as, like, size-wise, what SSDs were to regular hard drives. Because it went from...
You're talking like just physical size?
Physical size. It went from like a VCR tape to like a credit card. And then now it's like, it looks like...
It's like a stick of RAM almost.
Yeah, like a stick of RAM.
Yeah but I'm more concerned about the performance.
The performance is incredible on these.
Much better than an SSD?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So this is something that you drop your operating system into, and then you boot up super quick and everything.
Yeah,
right?
You want Windows installed on this drive.
Okay.
And I was surprised at the price, because I paid $1,100, $1,200 for my Intel 750, and that's a 1.2 terabyte. For a 1 terabyte Samsung, it was...
An M2, right?
It was like $620. Yeah, for an M.2 drive.
What size?
For a 1 terabyte. And the speeds are faster than the Intel 750.
Okay, now I gotta get a fucking new...
How long ago did you purchase that?
Yeah.
You 2 years ago, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the time, the Intel 750 was the best thing that you could get.
So we're thinking that maybe if you are updating your motherboard, you might want to be looking into it.
I think a lot of them have support for an M.2 drive, but yeah, you definitely want to make sure that it does support
that. My small form factor one definitely doesn't have support for that.
It might. You'd be surprised. It does not take up a lot of room.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll check.
Yeah. All right, so moving on the radar, Prey comes out May 5th. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Something told me that it was going to be tomorrow.
They don't generally release games on Monday.
Okay. I'm
Tuesdays are.
Wrong.
I thought it was 5/5.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Cool.
That's a Friday.
So I can probably get a...
That means the 5th of May for you non-Spanish speakers, by the way.
Who doesn't know Cinco de Mayo, though? That's a great holiday.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a remake. The original had to do with some sort of like Native American with supernatural powers or something.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah, no. I don't.
This is more shape-shifting, puzzle-solving with a first-person shooter. So the way I understand it is, you know, you're fighting shape-shifting creatures, but you also kind of get their powers, and you have to think about how to what to turn into to get past and through certain things. Like somebody was talking about, like. I think he turned into a marble and like rolled under the door or something like that.
They demoed this at QuakeCon last year. And yeah, there was a part where a character had to get through an area and he had to shapeshift as like a coffee mug and roll off a counter or something.
No way.
So yeah,
that's
it's a
amazing.
Lot of creative problem solving. And it looks pretty good. I mean, I'm kind of excited for this because I feel like they're running out of ways to make these first person games. Like it was always a first person shooter. And now they're doing like, I'll talk about it more, but Outlast 2. Like, that game is just like Resident Evil 7, just like the other Outlast, like the whole run and hide type thing. It gets kind of frustrating as after a while because you want to fight back. But, you know, this is kind of like a new way to deal with problems in a game. So maybe it'll break new ground, maybe not.
You know, the best first-person shooters always have that one gimmick. You could call it a gimmick or you could just call it, like, what they did to differentiate themselves. Gimmick kind of sounds negative. But, you know, Half-Life 2 had the portal gun, or I mean the gravity gun, and that was completely unique. And then, you know, like they all have their one thing that tries to make
them BioShock with the powers.
BioShock had the switching and.
And then what was the one game? It's kind of stuck in my head where you had the time stopping powers. I beat the game.
Oh, the bullet time one where you jump sideways. What's that one?
Max Payne.
Max Payne. But
no,
no,
it wasn't Max Payne. It had to do something with.
Super
futuristic.
Hot?
No, it was a gentleman with a mask, and it's golden and gray at the same time. I forget.
Corvo from...
I have no idea.
It's an amazing shooter. I apologize that I beat the whole damn
Somebody's
game.
Somebody's
going to
get it.
I forgot the
title. Yeah. Somebody will let us know.
Okay, so
yeah, but you basically got to stop time within an area of effect and then combat enemies around that. Or even do, like... Go in reverse.
Sounds super powerful.
Yeah, it was really great.
Are we talking about the one recently where you
can
stop time?
No, it's old school. Oh. When I say old school, I'm talking maybe Xbox 360 era.
Oh, well, I never had an Xbox 360, so okay. I can't help you there.
So back to our PC gaming podcast.
Yeah. It's on PC. I'm pretty sure it's on PC.
What was I saying? Quake. Oh, no, Prey. So I'm probably going to get us two copies, right? So who should they go to? Who wants to play it? Who will play it?
I will skip it.
You'll skip it.
In May?
I've gotten the last two games, so I feel like...
Yeah, yeah. We can talk about
this. Okay. I was just wondering who's most excited.
In May, I will let you know.
I want this game.
Single player is going to be a hard reach for me in May.
So
multiplayer
Bobby,
options
there we go,
I can
decided.
Play.
All right.
Boom. All right. Done.
I'm on it. All right. Also, Quake Champion. So now this is in a closed beta right now.
Yeah, I listed this because I actually have access to it, but it is NDA'd, so I can't talk about it. But as soon as the NDA is lifted, I will be able to talk about it. But just so you know, I do have access to Quake Champions right now, and as soon as I can talk about it, I will. That's all I can say.
Well, glad we brought that up.
Yep.
All right. Big story. Let's talk about Dawn of War 3.
Cool. So, you know, I've been talking about
first
this
a shout out. To
Thank you to dlgamer.us. If you're going to buy a game, check them out first, guys. That's how you can help us out. And the best way to do that is to go to our website and click. It's super hard to see. I went to our website three times before I actually found it. It's on the right side.
Calling out Bobby.
And it says...
Straight up.
What's it say, Bobby?
What's the word? Says... Under the support us section at the top, it says shop at DL Gamer.
Right above Cheese Forehead is where you're going to find shop at DL Gamer. So if you're looking to buy something, they have AAA titles at cheap prices. They're not a gray market. They legit just buy in bulk and they pass the savings on to everyone else.
Yeah.
So thank you, and they've been super cool, and we're going to continue to have this partnership. And obviously, the better numbers they see coming from us, the better they're going to take care of us, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, and then maybe we can get a DL Gaming special sale for just you guys eventually. So, anyway. Yeah. Thank you. That's dlgaming.us.
DLGamer.
It couldn't be more confusing. You're going to go to dlgaming.net and you're going to click on shop at dlgamer, which will take you to dlgamer.us, and you're going to make your purchase there.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
So I've been talking about this, 6 months, 8 months now?
You loved the first one. No.
Yes.
You loved the first one.
Loved the first one.
You didn't like the second one as much, Dawn of War 2, because it was too...
Squad-based,
right?
Yeah. And I just like the crazy amount of numbers. This seems to be a marriage between the two. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a huge RTS guy. Chad and I played a game today, just head-to-head, and we might be the worst two RTS players in the world. Like, we are terrible. We are going to keep games that we play online between each other and private and off any stream, and that's how we're going to play.
Like, oh my goodness.
It's so bad.
Yeah,
we're both shit in our pants the entire time. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm doing anything right. I don't know. And eventually Chad actually won, even though I had a clear, clear dominant position early on. It didn't matter because I'm fucking dog shit.
You guys were doing versus then.
We were doing versus. Yeah. We played one. That's why we were late to the podcast. We played one game. And it went kind of long because it was kind of rubber banded a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but let's get down to the game. RTS, this is basically...
But you have different resources than I have, right? So they have resource nodes,
right.
And then you get your resources out of them, and I get my resources out of them. Is that how that works?
But you probably have a resource of some sort?
No, I only have two.
Okay, I have three or four.
Really?
Yeah. So
wait, when you say you mean orcs, and when I say me, I mean space marines.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah,
but you got three races. But let me just break it. I'll just take away everything what you're thinking. If you played Warcraft 3, this is like a modern Warcraft 3. It's very hero centric. You got your little guys that skirmish until you can summon your hero. Warcraft 3, you started with your hero though, right, Bobby?
In versus, you can summon one pretty quickly.
Okay, you can summon one pretty quickly here.
You have to build the altar and then you get like a free one.
See, this one's based on level, but I'm not sure
hero points. I don't know how to get them.
Yeah, I couldn't figure. I haven't figured out
it
how to get them.
It must not be
yet.
Hard because we.
Well, you got to your max level one, which required 10, and I never got to them. Yeah. So you were doing something that I wasn't doing.
We're kind of all over the place here, but let me say the good things here. Production value is super high. Voice acting's cool. The graphics are fantastic.
Well, do you want to talk about
that?
Well,
there were issues. So Fastidious, one of our listeners, has a monster beast rig, probably as good as you can get. And he was getting 11 to 15 frames per second.
Ooh.
And he could not fix it. So he got his refund. And then the next day, I believe, they released a patch. Apparently,
Does he run SLI, two graphics cards?
Maybe. I don't know. Did you hear something about that?
No, I'm just wondering. I think he does, and I know sometimes games don't have support for that built in right away.
Gotcha. No, what happens here, and this is something completely forgivable in my eyes, and they dealt with it within 24 hours. So what happened was you can change the settings in the settings, and it wouldn't actually apply. So you could like flip them all how you wanted, apply it. It would say that it would change it. And it never did. So it never adjusted to his system specs. So it was just looking like shit. Yeah, but now it works, apparently.
Yeah.
So
there's been quite a few NVIDIA updates I've noticed. And I think one of them, they do those game ready drivers. So I'm pretty sure the one from the 25th addressed Dawn of War 3 specifically.
For those game ready drivers, do they actually do anything or is it just another advertising ploy? I feel like a lot of times it's like, hey, NVIDIA's got a game-ready driver for this game, and then you're like, oh, I didn't know that game was out.
I feel like they're saying you're not going to run into any issues, is what they're saying.
I don't know. It's usually for big titles. There's actually game ready drivers for the Heroes of the Storm 2.0, and I played it when it came out without updating those drivers, and I did notice weird little things, delays in closing and opening the game, and then when I installed those drivers, it seemed to clear it up. But I don't think they would put in the effort to do that for a reason. I think games are so tailor made these days that they have to have these game ready drivers,
because
otherwise, like, there would just be, you can't just, one driver doesn't fit all, you know.
I feel like as we're talking, I'm always trying to think of how I'm going to get a dick or a butthole in there. And Bobby's the same way with HOTS. He's just like waiting in the wings with the HOTS comment.
Yeah.
So other than...
Let me wrap up my point real quick. I was going to go in and say production value super high. Basically, everything here is good and it works and it's great. But... the fun factor wasn't very high, you know that
less than Dawn of War 2, less than Dawn of War 1.
But I, you know, I'm on the third campaign part and I'm not very far in or whatever, and that's what I was gonna say. And then I played the one on one versus Chad, and we equally suck a bunch of donkey dicks. So we had a lot of fun, like I had fun.
It was fun.
And,
okay,
sure.
So multiplayer.
And I would say a lot of fun. Like I,
it's significantly better than campaign.
It was great. And to say that, even though we suck, we're kind of equally sucky. So like it went back and forth. I had a blast, and actually looking forward to playing some more.
Yeah, for sure. So, did you? When I first booted this up, the graphics looked like shit to me, and then you adjusted the
resolution.
It's just a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it has an auto adjust, but it wasn't working.
Yeah, that's my.
That's
maybe
another thing.
Maybe it fixed it with a bug. But I hate going into a game and the graphics look like it just tarnishes my. You know, first impressions are a big deal, and I hate when games just go in at the lowest setting and make you up-res it.
Yeah.
Because then I already have a shitty view of your game.
Oh, is it awful that when I do play video games, I almost always anticipate playing at a lower quality just so I get better frame rate and precision. Not precision, but like...
Yeah. First person. Well, I know what you mean.
They put it by default at a lower resolution as the lowest common denominator, because if someone's loading it up on some shitty rig, they want to make sure that they can actually load the game.
I actually get upset,
but the game,
especially as a streamer, if it auto-detects your computer and it puts everything on max settings, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good for streaming. This isn't even good for gameplay.
Well, if you have an NVIDIA card, you can go into the GeForce Experience, hit the optimize button, and it'll set all the settings appropriate for your specific graphics card to get the best visual quality and the best gameplay. So, I mean, that's another option too.
Chi, you have an NVIDIA card, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you ever use the GeForce Experience at all?
Yes, I do. I keep updates on the regular. I have a 970, and as a streamer, I realize that sometimes the drivers mess up something in the OBS settings.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a strong review of how beneficial or non-beneficial it is. I just know that it's been good and it's been bad in some cases.
And Bobby, do you know if you can adjust what optimize is for you? Like maybe you can set it for streaming.
Like higher frames versus higher
exactly.
Visual.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked into it that much.
Yeah,
I don't use it. I use it on a lot of games, but I also avoid using it on some games because...
Sorry, Mobius, just cracked me up. Fucking asshole.
But I don't use it on some games because if you up the resolution, it will change the DPI on your mouse pretty much. I mean, not the actual... Well, I guess, yeah, sort of. It changes the way your mouse feels. So it keeps wanting to set certain games to a really high resolution, and then all of a sudden my mouse feels sluggish, and I have to up the DPI to match it. So I don't like that. I found good settings on certain ones. But if it was like Far Cry 4, I was like, yeah, go ahead and set that one. Because some of those are very tricky. Like, depending on what graphics card you have, like, I'm used to going in there and just cranking up every single setting, but that's not always the best choice.
For sure. Would you say, though, Dawn of War 3... doesn't break any barriers?
No, for sure.
There's nothing really
safe.
There's nothing really new here, right?
They went safe, and you know what? At this point, I think they kind of had to go safe because this is the premier. In my eyes, what is the premier RTS? RTS isn't really a thing anymore. What was the last RTS? Big RTS before this, like Total Annihilation, like 5 years ago?
No, StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2
was how long?
Well, it depends on what you mean by big RTS. There's been a lot of RTSs out there, but yeah, StarCraft II has been pretty dominant.
Triple A RTS is not a thing.
Yeah, Homeworld was a big one.
Yeah.
I just believe the transition to MOBAs have pulled away a lot from the classic RTS genre.
Because MOBAs kind of took over.
Yeah, I think the MOBA genre filled the need for RTSers in a lot of sense.
And you said it yourself, you had a significant more amount of fun playing multiplayer versus Chad versus the campaign.
Right. Yeah. I would have to say my final verdict would be like, this is probably as good as an RTS can get, but I don't know if RTSs are the cat's pajamas anymore.
Well, and yeah, and I think if we were to actually have an RTS that would move the meter a lot, we would need something new. Like,
yeah.
And this does it well from what I've seen so far, but it doesn't do anything.
Do you blame them though?
You know what I'm saying? No, they went
them,
safe.
They haven't made a game in a long time.
Yeah, and they're going to make their money back on this.
Let's copy Warcraft 3, and we'll make money.
So, Bobby, I was seeing the Steam review of this is mixed currently. Is that because of the people having technical issues?
It's got to be.
Probably. You can never really go off of the Steam reviews.
You can definitely not say, you cannot say this is a bad game by any means. I didn't look at any reviews before playing. I just recently did on the way over here. I tend to agree with what I saw. Metacritic has it about an 80. I might even go a little bit higher, personally.
It looks like a lot of people are complaining that there's only 3 playable races, but
I mean, that's how you start, right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
If the game does well, then you sell DLCs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Dawn of War 2 had a lot of DLC. I imagine they'll do the same for this.
Yeah, the first one had like 7, and I bought them all.
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool. So overall, I can recommend it, even close to highly.
Did you have any issue with the third party? What is it?
De novo anti-tamper.
Yeah,
the DRM.
Because I've heard people having issues with it, but I didn't have any issues.
I didn't even notice what it was or that I had it.
Yeah, me neither. But I saw other people were having problems with it, so I don't know. Just curious.
Anytime you have any sort of DRM, there's going to be a number of people that are going to have issues with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Bobby, talk about your day off. Let's do this.
Yeah, so as advertised on Tuesday, I took the day off and I streamed most of the day. I started out with some Outlast 2, decided to pick it up because I had 2.5 hours to kill before Heroes of the Storm 2.0 went live. So just first impressions on Outlast 2. I did enjoy it, but it's getting kind of old at this point. The whole run around, hide, can't fight back thing. I felt like I was playing Resident Evil 7 again. And I found out I'm just kind of over that genre a little bit. I really enjoyed Outlast 1 and the DLC, the Whistleblower. Fantastic games. And they did not overstay their welcome. Like, Outlast 1 was like 6 hours long. DLC was like 2-3 hours. Perfect time for this type of game. Outlast 2, I'm 2.5 hours into it. I'm still on the first chapter, and I looked it up today. There's 6 chapters, so I'm barely breaking into this game.
The transition of story, was it good?
It's shaping up. I'm still kind of in that whole setup phase. A few things started getting revealed to me. Like, I found a little bit more of the story. Basically, there's these 2 factions. You know, like all good games, it begins with a helicopter crash. You're a news guy, a cameraman.
Not the same gentleman from the first game.
No, I don't think that it's related at all to the first one, but they'll probably have some tie-in later, I assume. But it looks like it's a completely different setting. So you're a news guy up in a helicopter. Helicopter crashes. You're running around with your camera and you're trying to find your anchor. He's not worried about the helicopter pilot for some reason. Like, fuck that guy. He's just trying to find the anchor woman.
He's worried about pussy. Yeah. Come on. Be serious here.
But you find out there's 2 factions fighting. There's this weird religious cult who are like, they're Christians, but they also want to like eat your face. So mixed signals going on there. Then you have the heretics, which are against the Christians, but they seem kind of cool. Like they want to help you out, but they do try to kill you too. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on here.
You have no
but
friends,
only sort of try to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the preview, they're like the outsiders outsider. Like, you're,
oh yeah, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't feel as claustrophobic as Outlast 1, because Outlast 1 was in like this insane asylum or something.
Yes.
You go in there for a story, and then you're just like, at one point you're like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here. And then the whole thing becomes about escaping the area. This one is outdoors. It doesn't have that whole claustrophobic feel to it. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. You also experience flashbacks, so you play through those. It feels a little more walking simulator than the run and hide thing from Outlast 1. The graphics, 10 times better, though. Way better.
Nice.
Hmm. Yeah.
Bobby, so if you're in the outdoors, what was it? TF2 always talked about how, like, they would put up barriers that you can't go across, but it doesn't look like a barrier, mm-hmm. and yet people knew not to try to jump over that place because it looks like a barrier.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about the contained space you're in, and have you tested the boundaries of how far you can go since it's open area?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like TF2 where they have areas that you can't go past. There's either a fence up there, you know, sometimes chest-high rocks that you just can't get over. You know, it's, if you play enough video games, you can understand the language, like you're not supposed to go over here. But they do give you a lot more room to run around than the previous Outlast.
I just like my barriers to make sense. If it's if it's a coffee table, I gotta be able to get over that coffee table.
You can hurdle certain items in the game, and sometimes it's not clear. And when you're being chased, like sometimes I'll try to hurdle something, and it's like, nope,
like a cow?
That's impassable.
I couldn't hurdle a cow, dude.
Yeah, well, not even a cow, but just like some debris.
My question is, are there any obvious differences in game mechanics? In the first Outlast, yes, it was claustrophobic. You would run, hide, wait a certain amount of time, and then try over again. Other than the open worldness, is there any type of new game mechanic in terms of mobility?
No, there's nothing new here.
Okay. Yeah.
So having played like the original Outlast, like, and then playing Resident Evil 7 and like giving up on that an hour into it, like I'm just a little underwhelmed by the game. Not to say that it's a bad game. For all intents and purposes, it's better than Outlast 1. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The story in 1 and Whistleblower were really good, I felt. It had just the right amount, and it didn't overstay its welcome. It had like good story, then it had gore, and then it just was like brief, so it moved quickly. So you didn't feel like it was dragging at any point. This game kind of feels like it drags a little bit.
Are you susceptible to jump scares? Were there many?
Yeah. Not a lot. I was expecting more, but not a lot of jump scares. $29.99 for this game.
Oh, I thought this was a full AAA cost, but no.
No.
This is one of those, what do we call it? Double A's.
Double A?
That's our own, I think we started calling it.
Like the battery. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's a decent game. It's good, and I'm going to try to see it through, but...
But it's not hot, and that's...
No, it's not Heroes of the Storm. So as soon as Heroes of the Storm came online at 9 o'clock, I jumped on that, ready to open all my loot chests. The stream was going. Had a pretty good turnout. Ankhbot worked out really well. I was able to do a bunch of giveaways. Not as many as I was hoping to do. I still have so much on my list. So if you guys are ever streaming, feel free to give games away from the big list.
Can you spell Ankhbot?
Ankhbot. Ankhbot? No, it's like an Ankh, like the
A-N.
You play enough Smite to know this.
Yeah. Well, he has a weird... Either I think he has a weird one, or I say things wrong. I say Ankh.
Ankh.
And I keep hearing Ankh from you.
Ankhbot.
Yeah.
Ankhbot.
You gotta put the H in there. Ankh.
Ankh.
Yeah.
Except the H is after the K, so it'd be Ankh.
Yeah.
Anyways. if you played Shaman, you know what an Ankh is.
So, were the chests everything that you... By the way, Bobby, you are the worst chest opener I have ever seen.
Really?
Ever.
No, I thought he was doing good.
No, he was doing... Yeah. What? He was playing every single voice line.
Yeah.
And he was talking constantly.
I'm the worst chest opener reviewer.
Yep.
Ever then.
Maybe that.
What was your issue with?
No, just because how slow he was going. He had like 150, and it was like one per.
He had all.
You gotta savor it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I was. Only a few items I was looking for.
Here is the big issue. Yeah. You have everything already, so you were really only looking for like three things. So it's hard to get excited.
Oh, he got excited when he
unlock a legendary and it's a duplicate? Is that what you mean?
First thing he said was, well, I don't need any legendaries.
I don't need a lot of legendaries.
It's almost like a baseball team saying, well, this season we're not looking for home runs, guys.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, oh, I already have this.
Let me salvage this.
This is only my Smurf account, so
So on two accounts, I do need legendaries.
Yeah, he was excited.
All that. But on my main account, there are quite a few legendaries. They've added a lot to the game with 2.0 in regards to skins. Like, there's a lot on there.
Oh, there's legendaries that you didn't have a chance about having.
Yeah, before. And there were some that I really wanted. And I did get one on my main account. And on my second account, I got the other one. But the big one that I wanted was the Primeval Diablo. It makes him look like the Diablo alien, that right? we all know. Yeah, and he crawls around like an alien from the Alien movies.
But didn't you get that one?
I did get that one.
Yeah,
he was super excited.
I got the shade that I wanted, too. Like the just the
greenish
cool blue.
One.
No, not the greenish one.
So this is classic Diablo, not titty Diablo, right? Diablo 3 Diablo?
No, Diablo 3 Diablo. It's just the one in Heroes of the Storm looks very manly. He doesn't look female, so it's a different model.
Is Diablo supposed to be female?
Well, yeah. I think he's probably...
Well, Diablo is the devil. He gets to be whatever he fucking wants to be. And
like
obviously
a year and a half ago
tits.
When I played Diablo That's 3, like for the second time I got back into it, like I had this question. I was like, why does Diablo look so feminine in this game? And then someone cleared it up after the podcast. They had posted a message about the whole storyline. Apparently, like, he inhabits a woman. So, yeah, technically Diablo is a woman or something like that.
Diablo in Diablo 3 is a woman.
Yeah.
But in Diablo. Previous Diablos, it might have been
a man. Are they saying that women are the devil?
I think that's what they're saying.
It could be an underlying theme, yeah.
It's also our tagline.
Like, our breasts are composed of evil.
Yeah. Fun bags of evil.
That's where you store your evil.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But it was a good time. Took like 2.5 hours to open all those chests. Probably about 160 chests total. And... I got a lot of stuff that I wanted. I have, as it stands now, on my main account, I have absolutely everything except 15 skins that I still need to get. But
absolutely everything that you want or absolutely everything that is offered?
Everything. Yeah, I want everything and everything that exists, yes. I want it all.
You sound like one of the orcs from...
Dawn of War 3?
Dawn of War 3. He goes, I don't know what it is, but I wants it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty much how it is on my main account.
Yeah.
But... 2.0, just speaking on that in general, I mean, this was like a fucking holiday, first of all. Like, I had...
People, first day off ever, right?
People were coming out of the woodwork, though.
Everybody came out.
It was the first day off?
The first day that I've taken off where I personal. Haven't been sick or, like, some sort of car issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, fucking taking a day off.
Yeah.
Those are the best staycations.
Yeah. It was. Beat off?
I couldn't even sleep the night before.
You couldn't sleep?
It was like Christmas, wasn't it?
It wasn't. I got 4 hours of sleep, and then I woke up at, like, 4:30 in the morning, and I was like, what time is it? Ah, fuck. Can I go back to sleep? Nope. All right.
That's so, awesome,
so
Bob.
Yeah, so it was great, but... 2.0, just speaking on that, like, I was not thrilled about some parts of it, and now that it's actually live and I got to play it, my opinion has changed like I thought it would. I really like the emojis. I totally thought I would hate that. I thought it would be visual clutter, but I actually really enjoyed the emojis because it helps. When you speak with emojis, it kind of takes the edge off. So when you say, like, you fucking idiot, what the fuck are you doing, Kilthas, smiley face, like, it's a little, you know, the tone is better.
You can do sarcasm.
People talk shit about emojis all day, but there's so much lost in translation when you put things in text. You can't put inflection on certain words. You can't put emphasis on certain syllables.
True.
And so a nice touch, it's just kind of like, it zeroes it in exactly what you're trying
and
to
get. And we are the Twitch generation. You know what I mean? Like
emojis are what makes Twitch chat.
The Twitch emojis, I feel like people are used to
them. Yeah, I will admit
emojis in real life?
I'm horrible with emojis, but I force myself to. Yeah,
very rarely I use them, but like everyone I text with seems to use emojis. See, I'm always worried that
stop
my emojis...
Stop texting with the 12-year-olds that you go to school with.
No, it's mostly my girlfriend. She uses emojis a lot. But it's mostly like... when I use emojis, I'm not sure, is this going to show up on an iPhone or is that
that's
some
my
universal
thing,
They're pretty much
standard.
Universal now. I would say like up to 80% or 90%.
Okay. You know what I do? There's actually, I don't use my default messenger app. I download Textra. Textra is my messenger app that allows you to install separate operating emojis. So when I put in my emojis, it'll actually show me what it will look like on an iPhone.
Oh, that's cool.
And, because I'm not an iPhone user, but a lot of the people that I text are iPhone users. So it lets me see what they see.
Fuck the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so it's putting me at a handicap. Yeah. Textra.
Nice.
T-E-X-T-R-A.
Yeah, emojis are just part of the language now. So I find it... You know, people are obviously using it a lot in chat, but also in game chat. And this is my suggestion. I might even put this on Reddit and see if it picks up some steam. They need an autocomplete because you type in emojis like colon, the name of the emoji, and then end colon, and that's your, so you can do like colon RIP colon, and it puts a little gravestone with RIP on it.
Yeah.
So I use that one a lot, but I don't know what all the emojis are, and I haven't added any to my favorites. So if they had an autocomplete, like if I just type colon and then start typing like Arthas sad, yeah, and then it just autocompletes to whatever emoji that is, I think that'd be really helpful.
You said you have favorites. What are favorites? Like,
well, you can add favorites, so you can just click a button and then they're there. So it's a little easier of a way to access them.
I feel like you're the, who's that one duck that swims in his
Scrooge McDuck
yeah,
in the money pit
of emojis. And you won't share them with anyone, Bobby. Yeah. You're just swimming in these freaking emojis. Look at your Steam
years,
account.
Gave me like 50 of them.
The last time we looked at his Steam emojis, it crashed Steam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has this copious amounts of emojis, more than he can handle. And he won't share them with anybody.
I can convert all my extras into gems now. But yeah, you guys do need to get hooked up on emojis
swimming
and backgrounds.
Speaking of emojis, though, you showed this a couple weeks ago. I didn't know this, that you had added a couple emojis to our Discord.
Oh, yeah, we have custom emojis in our Discord. And if you become like a Discord like Prime member, like $50 a year, then you can use these on any Discord server, too.
I didn't even know that
sounds
that
like we're asking
Discord
for money.
Prime.
That's Discord asking for money.
Yeah, that's Discord.
Yeah.
But you can also get like an animated avatar with that. They try to upsell you.
Bobby actually did our four faces.
I love them.
I came out looking like
Butters.
Yeah, that's.
But you are.
I'll
totally
take Butters though.
Of the group.
Yeah, put them all up.
I'll take Butters.
Totally the Butters of the group.
Butters is the only one that's not.
Yeah, and it's the same thing
up
in Discord. If you do, it starts with a colon and then you write it in. So if you do like colon Chad colon, then it'll show the Chad face.
Isn't that funny that Chad thinks that Butters is the only one that's not fucked up yet? He's the most flawed out of.
Butters isn't the most flawed. He's just a normal
Butters
kid.
Butters is my absolute favorite.
He's so flawed.
He's a normal kid in that fucked up world.
Oh, okay.
He's the most innocent and pure.
Yeah.
He's innocent and pure.
Yeah. Yep,
that's Butters.
So let me get back to my joke before it's gone.
Oh, God.
Bobby swimming in emojis is the only way he gets to feel emotions.
Yep.
That's actually pretty good.
Nice,
I like
you guys
that
kept talking over me. I'm like, fuck, don't forget it. Whiskey, hold on.
Whiskey.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, HOTS 2.0 is a lot of fun. The new Hanamura map. Everyone's trying to figure that out. It's a payload map, so it's weird. But
yeah, that one was a weird one.
Whoa. Payload. Is that the first payload map that you've ever had?
In Heroes of the Storm, yeah.
So one team protects
the
two payloads go.
Payloads.
Yeah, they each have a payload.
Oh, they cross over like TF2.
Yeah. So it's, but they don't always run into each other. So it's a really weird decision making.
Yeah, there's it's randomized tracks, I think.
Yeah, there's different areas that the tracks can go.
So sometimes you just want to push.
But
yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell. Should I push or should we try to push ours in? Should we defend theirs or should we split the team? Splitting never seems to work.
I always push theirs in, I never get mine pushed in.
Yeah, okay.
But it does kind of have a natural kind of split because it caps out at three people pushing your payload. So there's no real reason to have five unless you really need to get it in.
Yeah, but
this
splitting
is a very
up
homoerotic conversation right now.
People are going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
Just kidding.
Well, I feel like three are trying to push it and two are trying to harass the other group because if you step in their payload area,
what usually
it
happens
stops.
Is the two trying to harass get killed.
Yeah.
And then the people that were pushing theirs go, well, it's a 5v3. Let's just go kill the rest of them now. And
yeah.
But yeah, that's all I'm really going to say about that. Heroes 2.0, everybody has like started playing this game. There was, within a matter of like 2 days, there were 10,000 more subscribers on the subreddit. Like, the community has just blown up. They're also doing this cross-promotion thing. Maybe you've heard of it. They're taking these League of Legends players or streamers, Voivoi, Skara, Dyrus.
I like Dyrus, too.
Yeah, insanely popular. A lot of followers. But they're sponsoring them, so they're paying them to stream Heroes of the Storm, and they're teaming them up with...
This last week? They came with that long paper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got money. Well, I've said this. When everyone was like, oh, Heroes of the Storm, dead game, all that, I'm like, look, dude, Blizzard is not going to let this game die. They're going to pump all sorts of money in. They're going to force it down everyone's throat. It's not going away, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing this excellent promotion. It's like a great idea. It's pretty entertaining to watch, too. But they're pairing them up with these people in the hot scenes, either streamers or pro players or whatever, and they're training them. And I've watched the stream. It's amazing how fast these guys pick up on it. I mean, obviously, they're experienced league players. They don't have the game knowledge, but like they are mechanically really sound when it comes to the game. So they're training them for a week, and then after that, the next 2 weeks, they're going to have a competition. Whoever can rank the highest wins, and depending on how high you rank, there's a donation made in your name to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So it's all for a good cause, and they're probably getting paid a ton of money for Blizzard.
Who are the three again? Dyrus,
Voyboy, and Skara.
Oh,
who's training them?
Fuck.
Training them, one is Chew8, who is like the biggest streamer.
Guy, right?
Yeah, I watch his stream a lot. Also, there's Dunk Train, who used to be an ex-pro player, and he's just like a big figurehead in the scene. And then KO, who is also an ex-pro
player. Bobby, you know what would be fun? Because how many... It's 5v5, isn't it, in HOTS?
Yeah.
What if you trained all of us? Like, what if we had, like, a DLG?
He doesn't have enough patience in the world.
But that's honestly what I've been doing a lot, like, this last week. I've been playing with so many people coming back to the game. I've kind of stepped away from the competitive, the team league, and the ranked. And I've been playing a lot of casual games just with people who have come back to the game. And it's been a lot of fun. And I've been trying to, like, level up my heroes as well, because now you get loot chests. There's, like, some motivation just to play those games and get more XP.
Would you even want that? A DLG team squad in HOTS?
No, I don't know. Like competitive?
He doesn't want to carry us along.
Well, Chad and Amila were just talking about how miserable they were at RTSs. But Bobby, you've been playing with Chad. You've been playing with Chad, correct?
Mm-hmm. Not well. I mean,
is there a time play?
I'm there, but.
Timer?
No, I don't think so.
Thank Lord, right?
Yeah.
We need to experiment. I think Smite had because one. None yes, of us have. All have played together HOTS with Bobby. That would be a lot of fun.
Not this guy.
Yeah. It's like,
are you really that bad at MOBAs?
Really that bad. Like, I don't even have the mechanics down.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You know he's bad when I beat him at Dawn of War 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I have more time.
Think about that.
Yep. And how much I must like the game if I could still enjoy it while sucking donkey dicks.
Maybe you just enjoy sucking dick.
You play Smite. You enjoy Smite a lot.
Yeah, but Smite's WASD controls. It's completely different.
Oh, okay.
It's
almost like playing like...
Speaking of Smite, they have their Masters tournament going on right now.
Oh, do they?
I did want to...
Good for them.
I did want to mention Smite again, just when you were talking about the emojis.
Mm-hmm.
How good the VGA system is again. Or what is it? VGA? I don't know.
Voice. What
it's
is
so
it
good. It came back to me. Like, it took me maybe 2 hours. And then I was like, okay, on my way back. Instead of like... I kept saying, they're behind us instead of... I'll be right back. And then eventually you get it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge...
Yeah, even if you just learn the basic ones like retreat or I'm going back to base, like those are the important ones.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny when, especially now that I'm playing with like a lot of new people or people who are playing HOTS for the first time or coming back after a while, like people will sometimes get upset when you don't call missing. And I'm like, dude, this is HOTS. You don't call missing. You just assume that everyone's missing all the time.
Dota, if you forget to call missing,
because Dota or League, like it takes a while.
You know, exactly.
Someone leaves your lane, it's like, it's like they're making like, an effort. HOTS is like, someone's been gone for 2.5 seconds. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. Whomever gets shafted by the person that did not call missing, your ears will bleed by the amount of
your ears are going to bleed in Dota too. Regardless.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I found
step one, mute everybody.
Missing is when you're in a lane and the person you're laning against goes away because they usually go away to gank another lane. So,
or they went back to
base
to re-up, but you need to know the distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player awareness is so important.
You just need to know where all players are on the map.
Because it's all about positioning.
Theoretically, if you're good at the mini-map, you don't need to get missing calls because you're paying attention to the mini-map and you're seeing them yourself. But there's who the hell's good at a mini-map?
Yeah. That's what team-based games mean.
Yeah.
All right. So what else did we play this week?
Well, I just wanted to piggyback on that because I played a little bit with you on it. Obviously,
on the stream?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, I struggled because I suck at these games. But
you've been watching a lot of it. Do you think that helped you at all?
I haven't been watching a lot of HOTS. I've been watching a lot of League, which I'll talk about later. But
no, you said like, well, last podcast you said you've been watching some HOTS.
Yeah, I've been watching a little bit of everything. It makes sense to me seeing what pros are doing. But you're not in a game they're doing what pros are doing, so it doesn't have a whole lot of application to it.
Have any armchair quarterback like, oh, come on, dude, you should have totally had him there.
No, but actually you mean when I'm playing?
No, when you're watching.
No, but the announcers are really good on saying, oh, they fucked up here and stuff like that. And once the announcers say it, because, you know, the announcers
then
are usually
like, oh, yeah, totally.
Then you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But so two things to come out of this. Obviously, I didn't do very well. And it's becoming more and more obvious that I can't move the mouse and click where I want to click. You know, like you kind of have to move the mouse and then kind of circle around until you get where you're at. Do you guys have that same issue? Of being able to, like...
I've gotten a lot better at it.
So I brought this up because... and I've been thinking about trying to improve. And so I was looking around, and I think we brought this up before, but the application's called Aim Booster. And I was playing around with it. It's really a pretty well-made little application.
Oh, you can practice clicking, right?
There's a whole bunch of different things you can do with it. You can just set up just the auto go, and it'll just start doing things, and you'll start having to click around with it. See, like we're watching somebody do it. Like
it's so good.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I love this.
But I've heard this is really good, and I know a lot of pros use this, and they kind of do this in between rounds of HOTS and stuff. Or
yeah, I've never seen this
Dota or whatever. But I am really bad at this, and I'm wondering. This led me to think, so I'm left-handed, and obviously, maybe not obviously, but I play the mouse right-handed, and I think I struggle a little bit because I use my non-dominant hand on the mouse, and I'd be curious to know how many pros are actually right-handed versus left-handed.
Sure it's probably the same ratio 10%. As most.
No, yeah, I would find that hard to believe.
Oh, just because computers are set up for right-handers.
And I have never seen
because I remember growing up, they did not make left-handed computer equipment or left-handed mice. Like
now
that,
they do.
Yeah, now you can get ambidextrous. You can get one.
I know, but when you watch any pros, I haven't seen any pro switch over on the left. Every pro I've seen, and I'm sure there are pros that switch over to the left. But I would find it hard to believe that you can use your non-dominant hand and get to a pro level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was just curious. I don't know. I wonder if they have any statistics on that. But yeah.
I'm so glad that you brought Aim Booster up. Yeah, I was just thinking about, hey, what game can I play in between the PUBG rounds? Because once you die, you're basically just waiting for your squad mates. I actually did pick up and put the Mayo donated that one Mayo game. My name is Mayo. And I played it, and I got further than anybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, you did cover that. So I did.
She said she was going to play it, and we said, save your money.
Huh? Well, it's one of those things like...
It's the worst thing ever, right?
Well, for downtime, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I guess
So for me, if I was just dead waiting for my squad, then you might as well just click. I did do the whole Mario Party thing where you took the mouse and I put it like on like close to my body, like, and then I just like tapped it with my finger, not even like simply tapping it on the desk. Like I held it to my body and like tapped it as fast as I could.
The leaderboards?
The question
I
is,
did look, and there's one number that is the maximum number of
exactly.
clicks.
You know what? Yeah. I can almost guarantee that somebody wrote a small program.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Easily.
Did you dress him up in a bikini?
Did you like the game?
I got to the point where it was whipped cream.
Ooh, the whipped cream bikini.
And then I left it at that.
Okay. Then
you masturbated and called it a day.
When I'm in Cancun, whipped cream bikini is a good place to start, though.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we play?
Alien Swarm Reactive Dropped. We played this a little bit. This is the new standalone Alien Swarm game.
Chad or Bobby, I don't know why you say we played a little bit. This is clearly as deep into a game as we get.
We went full bore.
Emilio reviewed this game.
Bring up the Steam one because
20 minutes.
Because maybe? I want to. It has because we were at first like, what is different? Because it's not a new game necessarily. It's more like a fuller version of the original Alien Swarm.
Let's go over it.
It's
this
like
is
added content.
Go ahead, Bobby. The original. You say that it's always the first game that you played for free, right?
Yeah, it came out in 2010, released by Valve completely for free. Back, this is before like free to play was a thing. So when they released this, I thought that was just strange. Like, they're giving away a game just for free. And it was like a well-developed game. I mean, it's nothing like groundbreaking, but like, it's a good-looking, well-developed game. And I was a little confused because this is a standalone game. You have to completely install Reactive Drops separately from Alien Swarm. And not only that, it's like 4 gigs, where Alien Swarm is only like 2 gigs. Like, it's a much bigger game, but it just seems so similar to me. Apparently there's more classes, more maps, just so more
the
content.
The big thing, and this is what we research after we stop
scroll
playing,
up
Bobby.
A little, Bobby. Let me look at those.
The big things is they went co-op from 4 to 8. That's
wow.
One. Also, Steam Workshop is huge. It's adding Steam Workshop to a game that has a following is like making 3 DLCs, because there's going to be so much content made by these people already. It's been out a day and there's 108 things on the Steam Workshop, probably 20% of which is playable, you know, like good, actually worth taking a look at. Some of them are campaigns, some of them are character packs. Some are like, you can turn your guys into Halo guys, you know, stuff like that. So there's going to be Ninja Turtles, whatever the fuck. If you can think of it, and there's a player base, and Russians love this game. Like, when I was playing the, because how long ago did we take a look at this game again?
That was like a year ago.
A year ago. So I started playing it because I was really enjoying the standalone first version of this game. Recently, I'm like, man, this is really worth taking a look at again. So I started playing, and then you guys kind of fell off. So I was playing; it was all Russian, like,
really,
because it's free.
Yeah,
and it's on Steam, and so it's so accessible to so many people. And so they're gonna just mod the shit out of this, and they're gonna make fantastic content. So I'm excited about that. I love this game. I don't know. There can't be. As far as like co-op, it's just done so well because of there's team damage. You got to be careful. You got to be mindful. You're all covering each other's asses, but it's kind of scary at times and it gets hectic. I love this game.
Fastidious said it was the best co-op game.
No, he said top down.
Yeah, and I still think I like Helldivers more than this.
Well, Helldivers is a lot harder.
Yeah, Helldivers is a lot harder. And
wait, guys. We didn't get through one fucking level. Let's dial it back.
No, we got through the beginning level.
Let's dial it back, guys.
No, it's good. It's good. I love the friendly fire. It makes you have to play smart.
Too easy otherwise.
Yeah. And I love the fact that when you reload, you drop your clip. Because it makes you actually be smart about reloading. There's lots of ways to make your game...
Forces you to be resourceful, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I most games don't do that, and it adds that extra little bit of difficulty because you're making it easier on your player because you don't have to aim up and down, right? It's a top-down shooter, so you're just pointing in the right direction.
What about that point when your squad mate gets infected by some sort of alien virus and our only way to think about it is to punch it out of her face?
And it's, yeah. The difficulty factor went up on this one. Like, just by walking through a door, you will be greeted by a swarm of head crabs.
She ran at me with blood coming out of her face, and I'm like, maybe we can punch it off her face.
All I remember was I was getting attacked by like 5 or 6 crabs, and then all of a sudden I was getting friendly fire like up the
wall. But we were going to kill that crab.
Basically just like got stomped to death.
Hi, I'm here for the
game. It was like a real ass stirp comp. Stirp comp. Curb stomp. Yeah. And I was the victim.
But we didn't win. We didn't win.
Fantastic game.
Yeah.
I think we were starting at missions that were too difficult for our loadout.
We wanted to see new missions, so we went to a little higher level.
Yeah.
And that was too high for us.
No, I had a real good time with this game when it originally came out, but it's not the same game when you play by yourself, I think. If you have a team, then it's a lot more fun.
Did it have PvP previously? Because it has PvP now.
Yeah, now it has PvP. 8 players, new weapons, new aliens.
Yeah,
new
achievements.
Now you hear all these things that I had read all these things going in. Chad thought that we were playing the same game. Like, it's not... You don't go in and you're like, wow, look at all the different... Like, it's very subtle. Mm-hmm. And it'll most be shown. I'm sure it's going to shine when it comes to the workshop. But, guys, if I'm not busy and you ask me to play this, I will play this with you. Like, this is the shit right here. for sure.
Cool.
This and Smite.
It's good stuff.
PUBG.
Cool.
All right. Is it that time?
Yeah. We want to talk about a little mobile gaming?
Yep. Hold on. Let me bring it up here.
While we're doing that, oh, he's got it up. Never mind. Go for it. And
Chad's mobile corner.
Nice.
I bet okay. That's your alarm clock in the morning.
I actually don't do sound on my phone for the most part, so unfortunately, no. I got two games to talk about this week. The first one up is Star Jumper. Star Jumper caught my eye because it said it was an FTL clone, so I was super stoked about trying that out. And at first, I started playing it, and I said, wow, this is a lot of fun. Bobby, if you want to bring up Star Jumper, so...
All right.
So they could see what it's like. And I was playing it, and I was having a good time. And then I was playing some more, and I realized it just didn't have a whole lot of... It didn't have a whole lot of depth. So it does it what it is, and it does it decently. It just didn't have a whole lot of depth, so I lost interest pretty quickly on it. You know, FTL had all these different options and different ways you could play it. And I didn't feel like Star Jumper had different ways you could play it. Like, you can have your guys go over to the other ship, but then at the end of the day, you still have to destroy the ship or something. So it was just like, I felt like FTL was so cool because when you got the new ship, there was just whole new ways to play it. Mm-hmm. And this one didn't have it. So
it does look a lot like FTL,
yeah.
Graphically speaking.
So I would recommend it. It's free to play. It does ads every once in a while. But I have actually found all the ads that I was watching you could immediately just back out of.
That's good.
So I was just playing it like a game. So in that respect, I liked it. And the challenge wasn't there. Like, none of these enemies ever got close to killing me. And it does have different levels. So I started on just the regular difficulty. It's not like I started on easy. But the challenge wasn't there, so maybe if you ramp up the difficulty, then it would be more enjoyable. But so right now, I liked it, but I find it hard to recommend it specifically. But give
you know
it a try.
What's funny though? Just let's start dollar for dollar. This is going to sell more copies than even FTL would have on mobile because it has a visual aspect. They had to concentrate more on colors and graphics than FTL did.
Because it's mobile?
Because it's mobile.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
FTL concentrated on story and text, like, really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not just that, but also mechanics. And that's where this one lacks. But it's hard to fault them, but that's why we don't cover mobile. But I guess we do.
We definitely cover mobile, and everybody loves it. The second one that I played some is called Eternium Mage and Minions. And this one, it was another one that I started off thinking that might have something there. And the more I played it, the less interested I was in it. It's kind of an isometric dungeon crawler. It's an isometric dungeon crawler where you tap the screen to move or attack them. So you're just tapping the screen a bunch of times. But what is kind of cool is you can do swipes in certain ways to do special effects. So my rapid fire, because I'm playing like the rogue guy with two guns.
You're casting spells in...
Yep, exactly.
It's amazing how a game that looks better than the first Diablo is now a mobile
yeah.
game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the graphics are pretty impressive. So, yeah, exactly. So if I did a V motion, it would do my
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was, but it never got any more complex. It never got anything more. It showed me what it was because... I think at the end of the day, that's what gamers want. You want to have this kind of step difficulty
yeah.
where it's constantly challenging you, but you're constantly overcoming it by learning new things. Like, gamers want to learn new things.
Yeah, progression
And this didn't really have it.
Did you ever play Magicka?
Is that a...
PC game.
It's a PC game.
Magicka.
Oh, Magicka with the four little guys.
Yeah.
I think I played just a little bit of it, yes.
We
I know it's a great game.
Collectively, it's one of the first games we ever gushed about. Yeah. We were so stoked about it.
We never did finish that game.
I actually bought the game and all the DLC thinking I was going to play with my brothers, but we haven't actually gone through it.
You should play solo player.
Yeah, it's really
single
fun.
Player, really?
Because you have to, that's what he's talking about. Like, you have to, I call it casting spells. I mean, that's basically what it is.
But it was different in Magicka. It was the combination.
Yeah, you'd have to go like...
But there were interactions between the combos, so it is better with another player because someone goes fire, or someone goes like wind or something. You can combine that into an even more powerful spell.
Yeah. Flamethrower. Yeah.
Yeah, Magicka was a fun game. Anyways, Eternium, Mage and Minions, I can't really recommend. It obviously is free-to-play because since every mobile game is free-to-play.
So what's the next mobile game that's a rip-off of a PC game?
I had a request from the Tech Knight to play Cats, which was the one that was like kind of like BattleBots. So I'm going to play that this week or next week, and then I'm also playing one that you saw briefly called Forge of Shit.
That looked interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll talk about that next
visually.
Week.
Visually, I'll talk. You told me. Okay,
I'll talk next about week. It next week. Yeah, okay, cool. For sure.
All right. Listener questions.
Zanuck actually had a question that he posted on the Discord, and he said, "What's your opinion on Starbound? Have we played Starbound recently?
I will play Starbound recently.
Leet Mill also mentioned that she'd play games with me, and I think that's a good game for me to try out with her.
Cool,
since that's what she's playing. And it's been a while since I've played this. It's an RTS, right? Multiplayer RTS?
No.
It's like a 2D Minecraft.
No, you're thinking of Shardbound.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Shardbound.
He
said Starbound.
Very close.
My apologies.
Yeah.
Everybody should try Shardbound. There's no reason not to play it.
It's free, right?
Okay,
it's
so
free.
I will be playing fantastic. Shardbound.
Okay.
Starbound, we all played collectively when it was
look
in
how many reviews Starbound has. That's insane.
Yeah. Early beta? Is that safe to say?
I wouldn't even say early beta. It was in beta for a very long time, and we played it fairly deep into that. I think it was officially released like not even a year ago, right?
July 22nd, 2016, according to Steam.
So, yeah, less than a year. And we probably played it about a year and a half ago.
So none of us have played it since it's been officially released.
No. It's one of those classic cases where you play a game and you really enjoy it, and then you just get burnt out on it. And then when it comes to its official release, you're already over it, unfortunately.
Yeah. But a lot of what we're seeing, I haven't seen before.
Yeah, none of this I've seen before.
At the time, we went through the entire game. We beat the whole game, I believe, right?
I mean, there's no beating the game, but we saw everything there was to offer. We got to that point where you're out in space, like mining moon rocks, and you know, eventually you start seeing the same aliens, just different colors, and
So, gee, it's kind of like a 2D Minecraft that's like an action platformer at the same time. So there's jumping, there's shooting, but
you're
also
elements,
mining
right?
a lot and crafting shit out of the earth. And then going from planet to planet, and they're all randomly generated, and so are the bad guys.
Okay.
So you're supposed to not see the same two things twice, but of course, you kind of see the same building blocks over and over.
Uh-huh.
And you might go to one planet, and there's knights there. But then you go to another one, there's space pirates. And then you go to another one, it's just animals. And then there's a lot here. I mean, it sounds... They went simplistic with the graphics so they could get deep with the lore and the... Man, it looks completely different. The graphics are way, way up.
Yeah.
While the backdrops are making it look
good. It doesn't even look like the same game we played.
Yeah. Super good. This is something I would recommend you and Max play or something like that.
Yeah, because it's cooperative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you work together to try to build up.
And it's cheap too, right, Bobby?
And basically...
Oh, it's not expensive.
It's kind of like No Man's Sky where you're on a planet and you're trying to develop yourself enough to get off the planet.
Okay.
And then you're building your spaceship to get it further, and you're trying to go as deep into the universe as you can.
Yeah, I do need to train my boyfriend into like play more video games, so I should probably make that a thing.
Yeah.
Cooperative games.
Cool. We have more listener questions.
I'm just going to make something up right now on the spot. I already said that.
We have plenty to talk about. You don't have to make shit up.
As soon as I get my 1080 Ti, I'm going to donate my 970 to Max. So he can start his build. If anybody has something laying around, let's get this going, maybe. What do you think, Chi? Do you want
to... What? Ask strangers to sponsor my boyfriend who's not even a PC gamer? Like, he's... Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. Like, the salt level is so real. Like, I... I'm a hardcore PC though? Gamer, and the minimum requirement... Gamer. The minimum requirement for anybody I would be dating is that they're a PC gamer. And this is my... Probably one of my first and only few exceptions when it comes to like a long-term partner. And Max is definitely a good gamer. I've seen him play very well on consoles. I've played Divinity with him, but there's just like a type of enthusiasm that PC gamers have for the community, for the games. And the other day, not only that, like the other day he asked me, what's Discord? I'm like, oh, it's like Ventrilo. And he's like, what?
As much as I want him to be a PC gamer,
it's like, we're PC gamers.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of PC gamers now don't know what Ventrilo is. Like, that's you're bringing that back old school.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
That's
I'm
like
sorry.
Crossfire like that, like, and shit like that.
Let me pull back. So, no, we're not going to try to build on PC.
Well, when I feel like he's ready,
maybe
to
we want to take this stuff off the podcast before we bring up.
I was trying to do a surprise and get cool reactions. Yeah. I got a bunch of shitty reactions.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Know. I'm just so. It's. I mean, I don't know if it sounds. If it seems sound that I feel.
Never mind, guys.
Like I'm sorry.
Keep your spare parts that are in your closet. I'm sure they're going to be fantastic in 10 years.
I mean, PC gamers are themselves becoming.
Your boyfriend's unbecoming, is what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, there's just a level of, I don't know, like I said, there's a lack of enthusiasm.
Fair enough.
Yesterday, we were at a party. This is why this came up. Mm-hmm. And we talked about building him a PC, and he seemed enthusiastic about that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It's like, I'd like to see him take initiative on that. I don't want us to force it on him, know?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. Like I'm not gonna...
He's big into hockey. Have you done anything hockey related?
Other than trash talk his team.
Okay. I'm just saying it goes both ways, Chi. It goes both ways.
No, you know what it is? It's kind of like if somebody's husband is into something like big time, she sees that as the enemy. I think Max sees PC gaming as the enemy.
Yeah,
it takes
definitely
her a lot of her
it
emotion,
is all consuming
her,
for me it
and
really
it's funny
is.
Because
if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Did you not see at the birthday party we were talking about PC gaming and I said on our first day I actually just finished a 13-hour stream. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't done any of that lately, huh? Yeah. And then that was I miss it. I miss being more of
it's a trade-off.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
You don't get 13-hour streams, but you get the D. So
but I kind of feel what all every other male PC gamer, I mean, there's only few PC gaming couples out there. I feel like a lot of PC gamers have non-gaming.
I am the complete opposite. I don't want my girl to be into video games. Like, I want her to be okay with me being into them, but I don't need her to be into video games. Is
Meanwhile,
that weird?
We've already talked about this earlier. Like, Sam and I playing Binding of Isaac is probably one of the strongest things that we do together.
Yeah.
As far as like team building.
Yeah. And then Bobby says he has a girlfriend. We've never seen her, but she says he has.
Here we go again.
But when we ask Bobby, she doesn't play video games, right, Bobby?
We've done Lego games before, but she did not grow up with a console in the house or anything like that. So it's like start from scratch. It's pretty rough.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think no couple is going to have everything the same. And obviously video games is important to me, but I'm okay with her not, you know, we do things together that's not video games, and that I'm happy with that. But that's just me.
Sorry to force PC gaming on your boyfriend, G. I'll take it back.
No, I'm trying. Trust me. In subtle ways, I am trying.
Yeah. You can't push too hard. It's got to come from within.
That's what we were talking about yesterday, that the barrier to entry is significant. I mean, what do you need? Baseline that you can play everything that's out there. Base $1,800?
Well, usually people leap over from console gaming. I mean, that's how it was for me. I eventually got to the point where consoles was not enough, you know. It's like you play on consoles and then you like try out someone else's like PC game and you're like, oh, I can adjust the graphics, I can make them look better, I can do all these other things, I have so much more freedom, and then I have access to all these other games, and like then you're like, oh, I got to get on this, and then you know it just takes off from there. But usually it's a jump. You don't just like
For me it was the multiplayer.
Multiplayer,
I would say Counter-Strike is what locked me into PC gaming. StarCraft and Counter-Strike back in the day what locked me into PC gaming, made all conversations with the gamers that I played with consistently, you know, made PC gaming a relative thing in my life.
Making that jump is a huge monetary
thing. Yeah. For sure it is.
Most people cannot afford $2,000. That's like...
Most people who buy computer hardware can't afford it anyway. They just...
Yeah.
Put it on a credit card
or
something.
That's exactly. Yeah. Like I mean, you've got to want it yourself,
what I'm saying. It's money does not stop someone from like being a PC gamer. Like they will sell their mom's TV or something. Like it's an addiction. It's a problem. And, you know, people make it happen.
As we're going off in tangents, one more tangent. If and when I do upgrade, Bobby, and I get another 970, Chad, I believe, has the exact same card.
Mm-hmm.
Him getting set up on Sly, is that something that...
I mean, we should talk more about that in hardware because we are going to talk a little GPU, but
okay.
I don't usually recommend SLI. I mean, unless you're like a enthusiast and you really want to go down that route and it's super important, go for it. But otherwise, like I've had Sly before and even Crossfire, and you're going to run into issues with that. Eventually, you will run into problems with it, and it's just 2 points of failure, and it's just not really worth it if you just want a stable machine, in my opinion. See. I mean, you might as well just upgrade your graphics card.
Machine is anything but stable.
Yeah. No, mine's rock solid.
Rock solid.
It blue screened again on me. Fuck.
Did it really?
Oh, no way.
What game?
So it, I know what's causing it, but there's no way for me to go around it because it's work related. Every time I log in on VPN, if I don't restart my computer after I log in through VPN, it will blue screen eventually.
It's probably a security thing that's making it do that.
I know it's related to the, what do you call it, Juniper or whatever, Pulse Secure or whatever that I use for VPN. But I have no way to avoid it because if I have to log into work, I have to do it. And so I just need to learn to restart my computer every time I finish logging in. But
I feel like we're talking Inception. We're like six levels from whatever the fuck we started out with.
Originally, we were going to do a listener question.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Coming from Pharaoh Steve, multiple outlets have confirmed the new Call of Duty is going back to the basics and removing regeneration of health and auto-refill of ammo. Are there any other game mechanics you'd like to see other developers remove from games?
That's a good one.
Yeah, so the new Call of Duty is going back to World War II. They're going back to basics in a lot of ways. But, yeah, I don't know. Are there anything from games that we think we're just over and we need to move past?
Anything that requires you to click more than 4 times a minute needs to go.
Are you serious?
I am 100%. Well, never mind. Hold on.
It's very
shooting. Shooting is fine. But clicking to move your MOBA character around, why can't you just...
You're the minority. You realize this.
But why can't you hold it down? What's the problem with that?
You can with Heroes of the Storm. Instead of clicking all
but
over.
But do you?
Sometimes I do when I'm lazy.
Yeah.
We got some answers coming out in chat here. Clown Lotion says exoskeletons. I think I'd agree with that. I think we've had enough power armor suits. Well, it doesn't have to be a mechanic. It can be anything.
Well,
here's what I'm going to say. This is my answer to this question. And it came up when I played Outlast on stream. There are portions of the game where you come across a piece of paper, you pick it up and read it, and I'm tired of doing that.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. PDAs and reading personal emails.
Not just reading stuff, but just like the voice recordings. It's just, that was novel at one point in time, but now I feel like it's just a real lazy way to do exposition. And it's just
I don't think that it's lazy. I think it's maybe one of the only ways to do it in, unless you're going to put an NPC there that just happens to be standing in a dark room that you happen to be crawling through. Like, how else are you going to explain, how are you going to interject story into a random corner in the darkest room in a basement? Like, it doesn't make nothing else makes sense.
This barely makes sense. You could improve the quality of conversations. You can improve the way you drive the story outside of leaving it scattered. That was one of my major issues with Andromeda. Half of the conversations you have, you wanted to skip through, but some of the good shit was like a piece of, like it was a monitor in the middle of nowhere. Like,
and how are you supposed to determine?
You can refine that. I mean, it is what makes the difference between, you know, a good author and a bad one. It's about how you integrate this into just the natural flow of the story rather than making it like an...
Well, it's also difficult too because a lot of games, they hide voice recordings, they hide these pamphlets that have information, and you aren't going to get all of them. So you are missing parts of the story. It's like watching a TV series and skipping an episode. So like if you don't collect all of them, you're missing part of the story. Or if you breeze through them because you're just more concerned with the gameplay and the action, then you're going to miss part of the story. And it's like, why do that? Why make it optional? You know, just tone down the story, make it less of a story and just like focus more on that. Yeah. I don't know. Gameplay and story have always been like two forces going in opposite directions. I felt,
I do love it in games like Soma or Alone. Like that's where it's necessary. But
which one's Alone?
When you're that girl and you're a lesbian.
Gone Home?
Oh, Gone Home. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Not Alone. My apologies. So yeah, good correction on that one. Like for those type of games, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But for Mass Effect and Andromeda or a lot of those larger games, I feel like a lot of that stuff, it just interrupts the natural flow of the game.
Like the walking simulators, that is the game, is going around collecting the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Andromeda did it so badly because some terminals actually had quests on it. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like forced to go instead of
check
just
them all.
Yeah, instead of like an optional thing.
The only thing that's popping into my head that might solve this is something where you know the importance of what you're reading.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Like exactly,
if it was a red piece of paper,
or just tell us at the beginning these are all just flavor text and
opposite. Like mm-hmm. these are
yeah. But I agree.
But I know you guys are over it, and it sounds like I'm defending it, but I'm looking at the developers. Have huge teams of super smart people. If there was a better way to do it, they'd be doing it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we need a better way to do it. I just don't know if we really need to do that anymore.
You rather gameplay than story, is what you're saying.
Or have there be less of a story, or have there be less text. I mean, some of these texts are pretty long. It's like you found a letter from somebody.
Better audio, better conversations, and less text.
Had Gone Home been completely voice acted, I think maybe I would have cried at the end or something like that. Like, I would have been way more invested because those letters were so long.
I think it was. When you read the letters, they're voiced over.
Every single one?
Maybe not all of them, but the majority of them. The ones that give you the
ones that were key.
I mean, if you pick up like a card and it has like an address and a name on it, it doesn't read that out. But like the letters from the girl, yeah, those were all voiced over.
And I did cry. Never mind.
Okay. All right.
He is a crier. People.
So that's my answer to that. Less reading in video games. That's my platform. What about you guys?
I already said clicking.
Minimize clicking. Yeah, I should have probably thought about this before the podcast started. Sorry, Pharaoh Steve. I'm going to go with shooters in general. I'm so over shooters.
Anything where you need to aim?
Yeah.
Are you really?
If you need to win, if winning is a thing, not for Chad.
That's why I haven't picked up PUBG. Like, it looks fun and all. I just have no interest playing a shooter right now. It's just not on my things that seem like fun.
Because, I mean, traditionally, I've known you all my life.
Yeah. Or since you were 20.
You don't do well in shooters. And so they're not that.
I explained how my aim booster doesn't work. Hello, people.
Chad, I'm not trying to make
aim
money.
Booster just automatically closes on you because it knows you just have like no chance.
I'm not huge on pole vaulting, but that's because I know I'd land on my face and kill myself if I tried it.
You don't know. Maybe you're an Olympic level pole vaulter.
I were to assume something, yeah, probably.
You handle the poles well.
Yeah, I think pole vaulting is fucking stupid. Because I can't do it.
Yeah.
Shooters.
I would definitely agree with that. But I'm not good at...
If you were going into shooters and wrecking shop all day, you wouldn't be fun.
I'm not good
at... Shooters are the that's the cat's pajamas.
I'm not good at MOBAs either, but I love playing them. You know? I enjoy...
Strong point.
Yeah, I don't know. I just am... I'm just... something needs to happen for the genre for me to come back
like
into
the oldest genre.
Yeah, I'm just.
Not the oldest, but it's like the most saturated. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of shooters.
Yeah. The oldest genre's got to be strategy, right?
Sports, chess, Pong. Chess. Pong was theoretically the first.
Anyways, we go back really far on that.
I basically first person shooters got me into computer games because Counter-Strike.
Same.
And I used to love them, and I played Counter-Strike every fucking day, but I don't know. Nothing has gotten better since Counter-Strike. Like, there's no been any advancements, and that's been what now, almost 10 years. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if you're not going to advance the genre, then I'm kind of over it. That's why I like MOBAs, because it's a relatively new genre and I haven't been saturated with it. But yeah, I guess that would be my answer. Just get them out of here.
G?
Well, I kind of backpacked off of Bobby.
Enough.
Yeah, piggybacked off of Bobby's
like
extra
text.
That's
a good one.
Like just the extra random scattered text that's irrelevant, and once you read it, it's like in mm-hmm. like well, you know, the phrase in one ear, out the other. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about a lot of those things.
Yeah.
Well, when you're playing a game, you're just not in the mood to be reading all that. And I'm just like, fuck it, I'll look it up on Wikipedia later.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'm like forced to do it because either like in Andromeda, there's quests involved there, or there's achievements based on how many of them you're picking up and shit like that. So a lot of times I pick them up, I'll pick them up and just immediately drop them because I don't mm-hmm. know if the game's tracking me picking them up and reading it. So mm-hmm. yeah, I agree with you guys completely.
All right. Should we move on to esports?
Sure. I just had a quick one. I watched the North American League of Legends championships, which are now 2 or 3 weeks old. But if you guys want to watch one just series of game, the finals, the best of five finals between Team Solo Mid, TSM, and Cloud9 were insane. If you want to watch just... If you want to watch one set of games, watch that one. The very finals, Team Solo Mid and Cloud9 have both have won, between the two of them, have won almost every NA League of Legends ones. So they're like the two preeminent teams.
And it's kind of like a testament to how good esports is right now. Because like, I feel like every 3 weeks, you're like, this is the greatest shit I've ever seen.
It was,
and that's without hyperbole.
Yeah.
Because Chad's not one to like...
I'm not a hyperbole-leer.
Yeah.
Hyperbolist.
Hyperbolizer.
Hyperbole-ear is the best thing I've ever heard. God damn, that's good.
But anyways, yeah, that one, if you play League of Legends or are interested in it at all, you have to watch that one. So please do. That was it for me.
All right. A little bit of hardware here. Fastidious has posted some articles.
Wait. What section is this? Bobby gets hard?
Where?
I don't know if we're going to classify it as the official hardware.
No, I only
section.
Do it because... yeah, we'll
it's
going to
be a brief mention, but
we do it
Computex 2017. What's that?
We do it because you hate it, Bobby. That's why.
Yeah, I know. Computex 2017 is coming up very soon here, so they're going to be showing off lots of fun stuff. Some of that being the new RX Vega GPUs, which are getting a lot of hype behind them. Supposedly, they're going to be competing with the GTX 1080, even the 1080 Ti. So. You know, a lot of people are asking, is AMD back? And I feel like we were just having this conversation the other day with the Ryzen CPUs. And the answer to that, of course, was no. Now, will it be different for the GPUs? I don't know. I don't think there's been any, like, official benchmarks coming out for the Vega 10 or whatever the new flagship card
RX
is.
580, right?
No, I don't think it's called that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Somebody asked earlier.
I don't know. They've got a whole lineup, and I'm not too familiar with AMD's lineup. I mean, I'm not getting too excited yet. I'm going to wait and see how this goes down. But this might affect your purchasing decision coming up here soon, Emilio. So you might not want to buy a graphics card just yet. Because even if AMD's got a great card, that causes NVIDIA to be more competitive and prices will come down. If you're sold, like, I want an NVIDIA card.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, gotcha. Okay. But my initial reaction... That's a third factor to think about. But my initial reaction is, if it's that whole thing that we were talking about earlier, that NVIDIA is kind of like a whole service. You get that mm-hmm. experience, which I use.
The GeForce experience.
Yeah, which I mean, it's
AMD has their own version of it. I haven't used it in a very long time.
What's it called? I forget.
Oh, God, what is it called? Catalyst Control Center is what it used to be called, but it's got a different name now, and I can't remember what that is.
And I hate to go with... Because competition's good. We can all agree that. Because prices drop,
either way,
competition rises.
If this card does not outperform the 1080 Ti, at least there's more competition, and it gives NVIDIA a reason to up their game.
I kind of liked where... I felt like... sorry, what's the other company? It's not NVIDIA, but
AMD.
AMD had their place. They're like mid to or low to mid range. They mm-hmm. should have stayed there in NVIDIA. But then, yeah, I'm one for competition, so let's do that, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess until the numbers come out, we all know what the fuck we're talking about. So.
Yeah. Well, this also brings up the whole FreeSync versus G-Sync thing, too. So FreeSync is similar to G-Sync. where it's a technology in your monitor that makes it look smoother, kind of like having a high refresh rate. It lets the the card determine what the, you don't get any tearing, and it just looks buttery smooth. I've been using G-Sync for a while. I love it, but that is an NVIDIA technology solely. So you have to have an NVIDIA card. You have to have a monitor that's capable of it. FreeSync is supposed to be like open source, so it's much easier to use, but I don't think it's really performed up to par with
G-Sync. But some monitors do advertise FreeSync over G-Sync, which means...
Yeah, which means they will only support FreeSync and not G-Sync.
Will NVIDIA cards support FreeSync, though, since it's open source?
I don't think so.
Okay, so basically FreeSync's for...
Yeah, it's its own separate thing. It's AMD, and G-Sync is NVIDIA, to my knowledge. I could be wrong on that, but I remember that was one of the questions asked when all this stuff was like first announced, like, God, a year or two ago, like when this became a thing.
Gotcha.
I'm in constant contact, we all are, with at least 50 to 75 PC gamers. I don't know one person with an AMD card. And I mean, I'm not talking shit, nothing. But that's that is the state of things right now.
Yeah, most people use an NVIDIA card. I mean, I would love to use an AMD card, but I just can't imagine where I would put it. I wouldn't put it in my main rig, but I don't know. There could come a day where AMD is back, hopefully.
No, yeah. I mean, things sway back and forth. Mac was gone for, 20 years? And then
the iPhone.
And then the iPhone.
Bobby, I got a question that might be completely ridiculous, so tell me if I'm off base here.
No, it is. Just stop now.
Is G-Sync and V-Sync, can you do both of them simultaneous? Because V-Sync is to reduce tearing, right?
Yeah. You can, but you don't want to.
Okay.
V-Sync if I have G-Sync enabled and then V-Sync, and a lot of times games will automatically enable V-Sync and it will really mess things up depending on the game.
I always turn it off.
So if you are G-Synced, you should turn off V-Sync. Mm-hmm.
You don't want V-Sync in general, really, because V-Sync...
Unless you're getting tearing.
If you're getting tearing, you could turn it on. I don't know. Even if I do get tearing, I don't like to turn it on because it affects the maximum frame rate. So your mouse will start feeling a little weird. It may feel a little sluggish when you enable V-Sync. I don't like to use it at all, period. But yeah, if you have G-Sync, definitely not.
Chad, I wish you would stop using U-Sync. I'll be here all week, folks.
That was the worst one ever.
I'm sitting right next to him. So.
All right, a little bit of news.
No, go back to the listener question one, unless we're out of time.
Do that one?
It's up to you.
Yeah, we can do it. All right, so what makes you a bad teammate?
So are we answering for other people?
Or are I'm not going first.
So when Chief, this is a great question.
Whatever.
Actually, this comes from Captain Save a Podcast. He's on Discord, but he's
real shy.
Yeah, real shy. He doesn't come a lot. So he asked that. It was a fantastic question.
Good question,
and as
Captain.
As soon as I saw it, and I was like, she was reading it in first person, so I thought she meant what makes me a bad teammate. And I was like, oh. Do you want to do a separate podcast? Because I could go on and on about how you run off.
Wait,
and you...
We're supposed to talk about ourselves being a bad teammate.
Okay.
Now
here I go again.
You telling me.
So you're up first, Emilio.
Why would you be a bad teammate, Emilio?
There's several things. One, I do get blinders on and I get solo focused. So if, let's say in a MOBA team fight, I will see somebody and assume that I can annihilate them or have them very low and not think of everything else that is going on. I have very single-minded just focus when it comes to things. And so I'll be like, guys, don't worry about the other four. I mean, worry about the other four. I got this guy. And I will assure my teammates that they don't have to worry about this.
So much.
And then this guy and that guy will get all his health back and come back with an ultimate that kills everybody else. Generally, I think that I'm better than I actually am, which is good in some situations, but not most. Like, you want somebody with confidence, but I take it to a point of absurdity. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I'll say, follow me, and then we all die, and we're like, that was totally Chi's fault. So that's what I would say. If put it to one word, I would say overconfidence.
Okay.
I would agree with
that. I can see that.
Chi, you want to get next?
Me? Where do I start? Well, first and foremost, I'm very selfish. If I could put it into one word, I would say selfish.
Okay.
I will play whatever game we're playing the way I want to play it.
Can I second?
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay, right. So if we're playing any game that involves maybe going out there and exploring different areas and corners, I'm always going off of my own and relying on the ability of my teammates to basically save my ass if shit hits the fan.
But what makes it worse is that you're really good. You play really well. And like, so you not being there makes it worse because we're like...
Because you're shorthanded, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then not only that, I don't know. So other than just playing selfishly and really not just running off, I think I'm always letting others know what I'm doing, but it's really hard for others to have control over me. So I do like games where I have a lot of say and I have a team that kind of follows my lead. But if somebody else is taking the lead and I'm not into what they're into, then I'll just kind of do my own thing.
For sure.
But I am a good team player when it really means something.
No, that's for sure.
And there are games where I take a lot of guidance. I actually invite people's criticism. Mm-hmm. So if I am messing up, I'll hold myself accountable and then I'll try to improve. But also when we're playing games where I'm messing up and I'm laughing it off, but if somebody else is messing up, I'm yelling at them. Yeah. So I'm very unforgiving, yet expect to be forgiven at the same time.
There was one game of PUBG where I was like, I'm going to swallow my super confidence and I'm just going to let Chi lead. Guess what happened? We won.
Yeah.
That 100% happened. One time I said, I'm going to take the back seat and we won. Meanwhile,
you were just thinking in the back of your mind, I can't wait till she
We covered it
up.
Like 3 weeks ago, so go back if you want to listen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Chad? Everything impossible.
So,
I'm left-handed. I want to start with that.
Yes, that's true. I don't suffer from overconfidence. I don't suffer from selfishness.
It's a lack of confidence, maybe.
No.
There is that.
Well,
I'm sorry. There's a root. I'm sorry, guys.
No,
sorry.
I think what makes me a bad teammate is that I know I'm a smart guy, and so I assume that I know the right way to do it. Mm. Even though I can't always do it, I think I know the right way to do it. So a lot of times I have a hard time adjusting my play or taking feedback and actually changing, because a lot of times I'll think I'll know the right way and I'll be like, oh, I didn't have the skill to do it.
Do you think it might be paralysis through analysis?
No, maybe. I don't know. But a lot of times I don't like to get feedback because I feel like I know. Like, I feel like my skill is the only thing that was lacking to get something done.
Well, you take criticism really well.
Yeah, but a lot of times I'll take the criticism and I'll just ignore it.
Is that the worst compliment you could possibly get? Is that the worst? Hey, dude, you take criticism so well.
No, I'm proud of that.
By the way, fuck you.
And I do rage quit a little bit.
He's the rage quitter now.
Oh, yeah. But mostly through personal.
I do get angry.
It's like, if I don't like a gamer, I will outright be like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah,
I'm never playing
no
with you again.
Your
bye.
Game.
Yeah, I have no qualms about, like whether I'm nice or not nice to somebody,
now
especially over the internet.
I cannot wait for this next
episode. Yeah, Bobby, your turn.
I thought we were just going to skip me.
I'm perfect. What are you talking about?
I mean, if there's one problem I do have, it's that in team-based games, you know, it's important. A unified effort is important. So, you know, a lot of times I make the right decision, but my team makes the wrong decision. And it's important that everyone makes the same decision. So it would be better if I were to make the wrong decisions with my team as a group rather than just to be the right guy and ruin it. So, yeah, I'd say that's my one flaw.
I could definitely
You're always
that.
Right.
And I'm always right.
Wait, Bobby doesn't even show up. So we're like all like, can you imagine all of us just like, it's like, oh, we're going to do this. Okay. Where's
Bobby? No wonder we never all four play together. That sounds like a terrible team.
Bobby does.
Bobby and I are complete opposite sides of the spectrum because I know that I'm making the wrong choice, but I expect everybody to follow me because we're stronger making a wrong choice together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby's on the other side, where it's like, I know that I'm right and we should be going this way, but I go in solo and he dies. So we're, and then you put us together on one team, Forget about it.
I've had similar conversations this week, you know, playing with a lot of new players with HOTS or people who've been returning to the game. Like, there's a body language when you play. Like, I'm telling people, you can't be there because that's telling the rest of our team that you're ready to fight, and we are not ready to fight. So you just need to back up so they feel less secure about fighting. Like, you need to tell them with your body that you are not ready.
Yeah. Abby's level of understanding of this game is like...
Well, I mean, he plays.
No, I know.
No, do you know what level he is? Do you know what level his main account is? Because they just changed the account leveling scheme, right?
Okay.
It used to cap at a 30 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now you gain a level every time your individual characters level up. Is that how... So that your total level...
They removed the level cap on individual heroes, so now you can level it up like as far as you want. Yeah. Well, to 99, but that's like...
So are you 53rd in the world?
No. There's actually people who... I think it favors people who have leveled a lot of characters up to 20, the old cap. So, I mean, I'm at about 1,200 right now, which is still very, very high.
1,200?
Out of what, though?
That means like every time one of his characters levels, he gains one level. So his characters have leveled 1,200 times.
Yeah.
On the one account.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's like Chu8's level?
See, he plays a lot of the same characters, so he topped out at 20 on a lot of them, and then when that converts over to the new system, then there's one person on my list who has level 1600 something, so that's pretty insane.
So but you're most people, second highest of the people that you know?
Yeah, there's people around my level too, but most people I would say are in the 6 to maybe 1,000. Pro players, a lot of pro players are around 1,000. But they always play the same character.
You're so modest about it.
I'm 107, by the way.
The fiction that you
have. 107.
What?
107.
Oh, yeah. Well. Yeah, if you haven't leveled up a lot of characters, because it no longer automatically gives you level 1 on a character, you start at 0 and instead of starting at 1. So in some cases, it can lower your total level.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so are we ready for some news?
Oh, by the way, on that last one, I think, just to put a bow on it, I think that's a good just starting platform if... If you're not getting better as a player, it helps to be
introspective
every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all of us can get better. Mm-hmm. Some of us, myself, can get a lot better. But I think it doesn't hurt to look at yourself every once in a while.
I think it's your left-handed devil.
It's true. It's true. The left-handers are the devil.
All right, news. Awesome Knots goes free-to-play on May 24th. They also have a huge update coming on that day. I knew this was going to happen sooner or later. There was no way that Awesome Knots was not going to go free-to-play. I'm honestly surprised it took this long. Great game, by the way. Love this game. Always jump back into
it. Fucking game.
Every now and then. Great, fun, little quirky MOBA. I'm glad it's finally free-to-play. I hope they don't do some weird like pay model with it. But yeah,
no, it's probably going to go straight like MOBA style, right? Where you've got two different currencies that you can buy stuff with, one you earn in-game and one you spend money on.
Kamala, she said they're taking away offline mode, so that's...
Oh, I didn't even know there was an offline mode. I never played that.
Cool. Are you going to actually give this a go when it's got the
When
update?
The update comes out, yeah, I'll check out the new content.
Cool. And he'll be opening 150 fucking billion barrels of awesome shit.
Yep.
Of how much he's played so far.
Yeah, probably.
Yep. All right. Dota 2, we talked about this a little bit last week, but Jens had posted it in chat again. We kind of breezed over it when we were talking about HOTS 2.0, but Dota 2 requires a phone number for ranked matches to prevent Smurf accounts. So they're trying to cut down on the Smurf accounts in Dota. Apparently, it's a huge problem. They don't expect to outright get rid of it, but they expect it to slow it down some and improve the quality of matches.
Is phone numbers the way to go? I'm just confused because...
Well, everybody has a phone number.
Yeah,
they make you send a verification code, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, can't you get phones, like, really cheap? Like, can't you get a burner phone for, like, a couple bucks?
Are you going to buy a burner phone just
to
make a new...
easier than you get a free email, dude.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah. I mean, this adds a level of difficulty, but not that much.
That's exactly what I was saying and what they explained in the article. The word they use is friction. They want to create more friction. And I think that's a perfect word for it because it's not going to outright
some good friction.
It's not going to outright solve the problem, but it's going to make it just one. It's like how putting a chest high fence around your house is a deterrent. You know, it's going to make people a lot less likely to come on your lawn, but.
I do enjoy coming on a lawn.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
I'm just setting them up here. Yeah.
T-ball here. Jesus.
Two weeks. Lobbing them to you, dude.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how effective this is. Dota 2 is an insanely popular game. Like, just when it comes down to player base, this game is huge.
That's the game you should have been playing.
Dota 2 is a shit ton
of fun.
If
you were as prolific in that game as you are in HOTS, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. Basically, it would.
Yeah,
it
step your game up, Bobby.
We'd be in a hot air balloon.
Dota 2, it
with pizza.
It would be
delivery.
Would you ever play? Would you play Dota 2?
Do you know how expensive delivery is in a hot air balloon?
Oh yeah,
I would love to play Dota 2 with Bobby. I played
Dota 2 last December. I got into it a little bit, and I get bored like 10 minutes in. I'm like, why are we still in lane?
It's just a really slow game.
Well, it's a slow game, and there's a different feel to it than HOTS. It's not as quick. You know, there's a bit more of a delay in controlling your character. But and then there's just a lot more to know. And then just also on top of that,
the
games are so much longer.
It's very rewarding. It's very gratifying. The different types of strategies.
No, but it's a slow burn.
Well, it's like a soccer match. You know, you spend all day watching these guys go back and forth, and one person gets a goal, and like everyone loses their mind.
Well,
it's kind of like
UFC
that.
Where you can knock out in 7 seconds.
But it's like I could play three Heroes of the Storm games in the time it would take to play one Dota game too. So
What I think it comes back with Chi. Like, it takes so long and so much skills involved that when you win, you like really feel accomplished. But when you lose, you feel like a complete piece of shit and you just wasted an hour and a half.
You should feel like a complete piece of shit way before the end of the game. Someone will get on comms and just rip into you.
That's
fairly quick.
You didn't call Miss.
I appreciate that Dota 2 is one of the first MOBAs that integrated in game voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Voice chat.
It's a double-edged sword, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Voice chat. Sorry. Yeah.
The VGS system. Everybody should
just adopt the VGS system, and then
it's fucking good.
I mean, most of the times I can't even tell what they're saying, but I know they're mad because they're speaking in Russian. You definitely know they're mad.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Shall we close this bitch out?
I think so.
Yep.
So, do people like titties or do people like the new Cratch? Catchphrase, which I'm going with.
The new crotch phase.
Yeah.
Yep.
This guy with his gutter humor.
Yeah, seriously. always talking about crotches.
I'm trying to hone it down. I think keep winning. And not just because, like, you should be a winner every time, but I think even when you lose, you can learn from losses, and thus you can win from a loss. So if you just keep winning, you'll be a better gamer. I think I'm switching it over. But I'll keep it at titties if people wanted to. But for now, speaking for Chi, Chad, Bobby, and myself, keep winning, everybody. Love you guys.